by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the river.
Centuries ago, when the last remnant of Israel's ancient kingdom fell to the marauding Babylonian army, the Jewish exiles from Jerusalem sang this lament. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors demanded songs, and our tormentors asked for joy. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing a song of Adonai in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I cease to remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, Adonai, the children of Edom, what they said on the day Jerusalem fell. Strip her to the very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, the devastated one, happy is the one who repays you as you have repaid us. Happy is the one who seizes your little ones and dashes them upon the rock. This is a tragically beautiful psalm. It's the cry of hearts robbed of their last human hope. Having exhausted every human effort at deliverance, they appeal to the only hope left, and in fact, the only hope there ever was, the righteous judge in heaven. Amid the cruel taunting of their captors, they call out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, asking that he help them remember the promises of redemption made to their ancestors and embodied in Jerusalem, the holy city of God. We can agree with that. In fact, we from the nations can identify with it. After all, by the redeeming work of Messiah Yeshua, we are brought into that same covenant and share those same promises with those ancient Hebrews. But then there's that other part of the psalm that is not so agreeable, the part about repaying the Babylonians by slaughtering their little ones. Is that really what those Jewish exiles wanted? And is that an attitude we should adopt regarding our enemies and the enemies of our God? No, not if we're to live in a way that honors our Redeemer. Yet such words are inevitable from human hearts stretched beyond all measure of grief by tragedies and atrocities we have a hard time imagining. No people is exempt from it. If we examine our own histories, we'll see similar tragedies that have uprooted our own ancestors from their homelands, their way of life, their culture, and everything they held dear. So then, we shouldn't find fault with the Jewish psalmist who wrote this lament, nor with those who have sung it over the centuries. But then, neither should we adopt this as a model for prayer about our enemies. God himself explained that to those very same ancient Jewish exiles, as we read in Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all those in captivity whom I removed as captives into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Also plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and have sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters. And multiply there and do not decrease. Also seek the peace of the city where I took you as captives in exile. And pray to Adonai for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are among you or your diviners beguile you, and pay no attention to the dreams which you make them keep dreaming. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. It is a declaration of Adonai. For thus says Adonai, after 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will visit you and fulfill my good word toward you to bring you back to this place. That sounds well enough, as long as we consider it to be counsel for an ancient people far removed from us. What we rarely consider, though, is that these words establish the context for the following passage that we quickly embrace as applicable to us today. "For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for peace and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Ah, yes, now it's more familiar. The promise of God to look after his people and do good for them always. Yet how can we embrace this promise without accepting the context? Is there something our Lord is saying to the ancient Jewish exiles that he also says to Jews and Christians today? Yes, there is. We begin to understand as we continue to read from Jeremiah, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives into exile." This is not merely instructions to ancient Jewish exiles in Babylon, but our Redeemer's counsel on how to conduct ourselves in this fallen world. Evil and lawlessness surround us, and quite often we find ourselves at the mercy of wicked oppressors. Our God continues to offer us the hope of final redemption, but sometimes it's all we can do to hold on to that hope. But what are we to do about our oppressors? Do we call down fire from heaven on their heads because they have harmed the people of God? There's no blanket answer to such questions. Every situation is different, and that's why we must draw near to our Creator to discern His voice day by day. Sometimes resistance may be necessary, and sometimes it is necessary to endure quietly the indignities and sufferings inflicted by the wicked. However, there's never a call to pray for the destruction of our enemies. In fact, Messiah Yeshua taught us the opposite. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have?" Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? "And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than anyone else? Even the pagans do that, don't they? Therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Notice that our Lord doesn't tell us to pray for the success of the wicked, at least not for the success of their wicked policies and actions. But neither does he tell us to pray for their destruction, no matter how abominably they've treated us. He never desires the death of the wicked, but longs for their repentance and redemption. We see that in his prayer from the cross for his heavenly Father to forgive the very ones who executed him. That is a much better way. Turning the matter over to the Father is not as satisfying to our flesh as striking blows in retribution and vindication, but it brings far better outcomes in the long run of eternity. If this were a perfect world, we wouldn't have to ponder such questions. But there's a reason why this world is still imperfect and why such pondering is necessary. We are still in exile. We forget that when times are good. Maybe that's why our Redeemer allows the times to get bad. Otherwise, we might become too comfortable and be unwilling or unable to answer his call when the time comes to go home.